verse we're going to read today, I believe with all my heart that if we do not truly embrace this verse, if we do not understand it, if we are not convicted by it, I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ, if that is the case, is completely meaningless and irrelevant. That's how powerful this verse is. This verse is at the crux of every believer's transformation of their life. If you cannot get past this verse to pass go and to get to Jesus, you will never get to Jesus. Never. I mean, it's impossible. That's how important this verse is.
I want to welcome you to another broadcast of This Day in the Word, the teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. We're so grateful that you've taken time to tune into today's broadcast. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived at thisdayministries.org. Our prayer is that through these messages that God would speak to your heart. And so now let's go to God's Word and let's see what He has to say.
Take your Bible and turn to 1 John 1:8. And here in 1 John 1:8, we've been studying over the last several weeks the issue of truth, of light, of darkness, of sin. We look at what John was penning here, and he was writing to a culture that basically said it's all about Gnosticism, and it's really not important what you believe. It's all relevant. Sin is just something that just happens, and it's mistakes, and it's not real. It's not sin. In other words, what the culture was saying, those heretics of the day, sound very similar to what's being said in our culture, and that is there really isn't any truth. And so he's confronting this in 1 John, and in 1:8 he makes a powerful, powerful statement. Now I'm going to go so far as to say this. The verse we're going to read today, I believe with all my heart that if we do not truly embrace this verse, if we do not understand it, if we are not convicted by it, I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ, if that is the case, is completely meaningless and irrelevant. That's how powerful this verse is. This verse is at the crux of every believer's transformation of their life. If you cannot get past this verse to pass go and to get to Jesus, you will never get to Jesus. Never. I mean, it's impossible. That's how important this verse is. Now, I came across a quotation from a man by the name of Phil Johnson. And he said this, God is not glorified where the truth is stifled, where it's watered down or adjusted to fit human preferences. Sadly, in our generation, even the mainstream evangelical movement has all too frequently been guilty of trying to soften and to tame the truth. I mean, you think through that. We have the answers. We have the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the solution to the greatest cancer, to the greatest disease. And so many times, we're not willing to see the truth for what it is, but we want to soften and tame it to fit our agenda, don't we? And there's a great challenge with all of that. Whether you're in ministry, whether you're in business, whether you're a homemaker, whether it is your family, your school, any time you remove God's Word from any of those institutions, any time you take it out of those institutions where you take truth and life out of those arenas, the only remaining aspect of what's left is everything that is devoid of truth and that will truly set you up for failure, but not only in this life, but also in the next. See, it's so important to understand that truth is truth. And because truth is truth and it's God's truth, we can not only stand on truth, but we can boldly and lovingly proclaim the truth. Now, it's not going to be popular, though, is it? It's going to offend. It's going to ruffle feathers. But we want to be a people that does it in a loving way, but doesn't buckle under the pressure, right? We want to be a people that does it in a loving way, in a humble way, but doesn't go, well, should we tame the truth? Should we soften the truth? No, the truth is the truth. And the reality is, the truth is the only thing that will transform your marriage. The truth is the only thing that will transform your home. The truth is the only thing that will transform your business or your school. The truth is the only thing that will transform your church. If we build our foundations in this life on anything other than the truth, we are guaranteed that our house will fall flat on sinking sand. And so here in this passage that has just really gripped my heart this week, this is what 1 John says, 1 verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Wow. Is that not power-packed? If we claim, if we say that we do not have any sin, there are some major consequences of that arrogance and that delusion. See, what is sin? Do we know what sin is? You know, think through that in your mind's eye what sin is. It's the Greek word harmateia. And this is what it means. It literally means to err or to miss the mark. Who in the room has ever missed the mark? A couple of us? You know, it's interesting because when you look at this, I made the statement a while ago that probably offended some people, but I believe it's scriptural and I believe it's biblical. If we don't get past 1 John 1:8 in the conversion process, you will never be converted. It's impossible. You know why? Well, I got to get to the point in my life where I understand how wretched I really am, how much filthy rags are in my life, and that I can't somehow work my way to God, that I can't just do enough good things, that I can't perform enough to get to God. No, I have to admit and humble myself and say, God, I can't do this. I can't get to where I need to be unless You are leading and I'm following. That takes what? Humility, doesn't it? I mean, we sing that song, I Surrender All, right? I surrender all, right? What's surrender? Is surrender when I say, oh, I'm in charge? Is surrender when I say, I'm partially in charge? Is surrender when I say, I'm an eighth in charge? No, surrender is when I turn everything over to God and I say, You are in charge. You do the work. I'm just the vessel. I'm just the conduit. I want You to be glorified. I want You to be honored. I want to be a prayer-driven father. I want to be a prayer-driven wife. I want to be a Bible-driven father, a Bible-driven wife. When we do that, that's when God goes, yes, yes, yes. Now I have Your attention. It's hard to get there, though, isn't it? Who has sinned? A good question to ask is, what does the Bible say, right? We can always go back to this wonderful, glorious book. And I promise you this, when you go back to it, you can stand on it, you can count on it, it will get you through this earthly life. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Who does that exclude? I'm guilty, aren't I? I am guilty as charged. You are guilty as charged. See, all have sinned. When we come to the point in our lives and we truly understand what our sin is and how despicable it is and how it is such against a holy God, when it's revealed and the scales are removed and the blinders are taken off and we go, oh, that's the person I am. When we realize that and we admit it and we confess it through humility, that's when God truly converts the hearts. But if we're just kind of playing, What are we doing? We're saying that we don't have any sin. That's what we're saying. See, there's a couple things I want us to understand here. We can claim to be without sin by just saying it. Oh, I don't have any sin. Or we can be the type of person that wants to blame everyone else around us for our sin. Ever been in those situations? You've been in a house, a workplace, a school. And it's never my fault. It's always everyone else's fault, right? See, there's a problem with that. It's not biblical. It's not foundational. When you and I truly take ownership of our own lives, not what our wives thinks, our husbands thinks, whatever, the workplace thinks. When we just do a self-inventory and go, this is who I really am. These are my struggles. These are my battles. These are what I'm grappling with. That's when God does the work. People want to be transformed. I promise you, we can go out on Manhattan Avenue today. We can go out there and say, hey, do you want your life transformed? We'll probably get 100% responses. Oh, you better believe I do. Now, are you willing to give all that you are to God so that He can transform you? Now the conversation goes quiet, doesn't it? See, it's going to cost something to get to the point that we really surrender to God, because it's not a natural byproduct of my sin nature. It's a fight. It's a grapple, isn't it? We deceive ourselves. What does that mean? It's the Greek word planeo. And it means this: to lead astray from the right way, to roam about, to lead away from the truth. Love this. To sever from the truth. See, this is the deal. When I say or you say to others that we have no sin, what we're really doing is we're not really deceiving them per se. We're really just deceiving ourselves. In other words, what are we doing here? I'm going to read it in context. If we say that we have no error, if we have not missed God's mark, we are actually being led astray from the right way. We are roaming about. We are leading ourselves away from the truth. We are severing ourselves from the truth. I don't know about you, but does that scare anybody in the room besides me? I mean, if I'm sitting there going, hey, I'm without sin, what I'm doing according to Scripture is I'm trying to hoodwink everyone else, but I'm really the one being hoodwinked because the evil one's taking me all the way down with them, and I'm severing myself from God's truth. To me, that's a wake-up call in my mind. I'm going, this is serious business, isn't it? It's just so easy to think that church and a relationship with Jesus is just something that we do when we want to. It's just so easy to think that relationship with Jesus is something we do on the weekend. It's like a part-time weekend job. No, you got to be sold out. I got to be sold out. We got to be committed. We got to have both feet in the game saying, oh, no matter what may come, as for me and my life, we are going to serve the Lord. That's where we got to get to. Because guess what happens when we do that? Lives are transformed. Guess what happens to the neighbors that you live in your communities and they see that your life's been transformed? Their lives get transformed. And you see how this works? But if they see you and me and they see us as being a casual Christian, if they see us being non-committed, if they see that, oh, we can take it or leave it, guess what they're going to say? Well, why would I ever want to get involved in that? It's important that we understand that if we are truly saying to a world by word or deed, hey, I got no sin, I'm good to go, it's all relative. If we're saying that, we are really deceiving ourselves and we are severing ourselves from the truth. Who wants to be severed from God? Anybody? That's scary, isn't it? You really get one shot, don't you? We got one shot to live for Jesus. So my question to me this morning is, am I living for Jesus? Am I really living for Him? Am I doing all that I can do to please Him and to live for Him? Not being perfect. It's impossible to be perfect in this life. All have sinned and all will sin until we're fully, what, glorified. Amen to that. And won't that be a wonderful day? I made this note. If I'm a deceptive person, if I'm deceiving people, if I'm deceiving myself, if I'm not really owning up to the truth, what happens is this. Number one, in order for God to really become real in my life, number one, I first have to get real. I've got to get real and transparent to say, God, no more. No more playing the game. I'm going to get real with you and say, here it is. But secondly, deception is this, isn't it? It's getting very, very close to the truth, but not in the truth. Think through that for a minute with me. I mean, if I'm deceiving you, I'm not leading you from this point over here all the way across here. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm leading you pretty close to over there. Because if I'm leading you over here, I'm really not being deceitful, right? It's pretty obvious. But boy, if I can deceive you just enough to be so close, on the outside it appears to be true. On the outside it appears to be right. But I get you so close to the truth, but not in the truth.
You are listening to This Day in the Word, the teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Here at This Day Ministries, we believe in the power of prayer. If you have a prayer request, would you send that request to prayer@thisdayministries.org? That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. Let's now go back to the second part of this message, and let's see what God's Word has to say.
2 Timothy 3, 1-5, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Listen to these. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. All the parents said, amen. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. That's deception, isn't it? Having a form of godliness. Oh, on the outside, it looks so good, doesn't it? Oh, I don't have any sin. I don't have any sin. I haven't missed the mark. I haven't erred. I got it all together. Oh, we're just deceiving ourselves. But when we truly say, oh, I have missed the mark, I don't have it all together, that's when revival takes place in the hearts. Who wants revival? Anyone besides me? I need it. I need revival. I'm not talking about a series of services. I'm talking about revival. See, revival starts in the hearts. Revival starts in a prayer closet. Revival starts in God's Word. Oh, we can have a series of meetings that we call a revival, and it can be the last thing remotely from a revival if we're not careful. Oh, we need revival. I need revival. South Tampa needs to be revived. It needs to be renewed. But it will only come when the church leads the way and the church says, oh, I have sinned. We have sinned. We've sinned against ourselves. We've sinned against God. We've sinned against South Tampa. But no more. And the last part of this verse says this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Well, that is so scary, isn't it? I mean, as we kind of play the game of Christianity, we're dealing with a balance scale, if you will, that goes, oh man, I'm playing this game. Oh, as I play this game, what's going to happen to my life? Sooner or later, the charade will have to end, won't it? Have you ever noticed that about those shows on TV, like those crime shows that maybe they have some guys been counterfeiting money? Have you ever seen one of those shows? You know, these guys, they perfect it and they can make the dollar bill or the hundred or whatever it is. It's amazing what they can do. But sooner or later, what always happens? I mean, what always happens? They're not looking for the guy, are they? Then there wouldn't be a very good show, would it? They're going, we caught him. See, we can pretend, we can really put on a great dollar bill, but sooner or later the charade is going to end. Oh, we may actually carry it on through this earthly life, But I promise all of us, myself included, that when we get on that day, the day, when we stand face to face with Jesus the Christ, we're going to have to answer for our charades, aren't we? See, that's why it's important that we don't say, oh, I don't have any sin. It's so important that we recognize that we are sinful, because when we understand that we're sinful, we understand where we're starting from, and we realize where we need to go. And if we're running to anything or anyone else other than Jesus, it's a hopeless, hapless mess. Addictions, affairs, materialism, on and on we can go, that we as humans, we run to these things because we're looking for something to dull the pain and to fill the void. We're looking to escape when we have the greatest escape hatch ever, and His name is Jesus. But we deceive ourselves, don't we? And we go, hey, I don't got any problems. No. Proverbs tells us this. 27:19, as in water face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Proverbs 27:19. It's powerful, isn't it? As water reflects my face, so what? My heart reveals really who I am, right? Question for you and me this morning. What do people say about me and you when we're not in the room? Think through that for a minute. What do they say about me and you when we're not in the room? Do they say, oh man, she loves Jesus. Oh, he is a God-fearing man. Oh, they are surrendered to Christ. You can see Jesus all over them. Or is it one of these? We leave the room and you hear a gasp. Eyes are rolling all over the room. See, Jesus said, by your fruits, people will know that you're one of my disciples. You go, wait a minute, you got to work your way to heaven? No. But just as James says, faith without works is dead. My works do not save me, my faith does, but my works give evidence of my salvation. If I'm a person that is constantly causing dissension and people to want to spit and quit rather than to make a life in Christ, in His Word, in His way, in His will, I got to go back and go, wait a minute, I profess to be a believer, but yet I don't see any fruits of the Spirit in my life. Proverbs goes on to say this in 27:21, two verses over. The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace is for gold. And a man is valued by what others say about him. I mean, think about what that verse says. There's that heated crucible that was used to test and to refine metals. It was hot. The only way the precious metal could truly withstand the test is if the precious metal was true. If it was not a true metal, it would not pass the test. And here it says that crucible, what happens is it shows not only the value, but in the Hebrew language, that word value literally means this, to test. Let me read that in that language. Here it goes. Ready? It says this. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is tested by what others say about him. Do we pass the test? Oh, there's always going to be naysayers, right? But on the whole, though, do we pass the test? I mean, are people seeing Jesus in us? Or we've gotten to the point that we're so complacent, that we're so enjoying this part-time job called Christianity, that number one, we don't even care what people say about us, but number two, they can't say anything God-honoring about us. And you know how you get to that point? You know how I get to that point? I'll tell you. If I say that I have no sin, I'm deceiving myself. And the truth of God, the truth of His Word is not in me. That's how I get to that point. So what do we do? What do we do? You know, maybe you're here this morning and God's convicting your heart. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and going, you know what? I've been living a charade. I've been this professed believer, but it's all been a charade, a facade. What do we do? There's got to be some good news, right? I love good news. Who likes good news? I love good news. Amen? So what do? We humble ourselves and say, Lord, I haven't been who I've said I am. Today is the stake I'm driving in the ground. Today is the day that I'm driving the stake in the ground. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to truly give my heart to Christ. I'm going to give it to Christ. And then I'm going to be able to pull a John 8:36, which simply says this, who the Son sets free is free indeed. That's the most glorious place you can be, amen? I mean, to be free. To not worry about trying to impress people and to perform for people and to do this, but just to be a God-honoring person. I promise you, husbands, wives, grandparents, kids, I promise you, if you live for God, you won't get to the end of your life going, oh, I wish I would have. What's going to happen is we live for self. That's when we get to the end of life and go, what was I thinking? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn and repent from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. Oh, our land needs healing. I am urging me, I'm urging you to be one of the few in South Tampa that leads the charge in 2012. That says we are going to be a God-honoring people. We're going to serve Him. We're going to exalt His name. And we're going to allow Him to handle all the consequences of our obedience. Why? Because He, the Son, has set free, is free indeed.
Have been listening to This Day in the Word, the teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of these messages are recorded at Manhattan Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida. In addition, these messages are also archived at thisdayministries.org. You know, we have a great task ahead of us in 2012, and that is to take the truth of God's Word to the masses who need to hear. If you feel led to partner with us in this endeavor, feel free to go to thisdayministries.org to find out more information about this exciting opportunity. Our prayer today is that you've been challenged, encouraged, and motivated to live for Christ. And so let's all go out intentionally and urgently this day, and let's go make that difference for Jesus Christ.